News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
The trial of Jeffrey Donaldson is in its concluding phases, as is the trial of fact of his wife, Eleanor Donaldson, in Newry Crown Court. The 63-year-old former DUP leader, of course, denying 18 counts of historic abuse against two alleged victims, and Eleanor Donaldson pleading not guilty to 5 counts of aiding and abetting. She, of course, in a trial of facts where there cannot be a guilty verdict handed down. Our reporter, Jamie O'Hara, has been following the case in Newry, and obviously just a warning that if you have little ears with you, it might be worth turning down for about 5 minutes and then coming back to us. So, Jamie, we are now at day 17 of the trial, and Jeffrey Donaldson's defence barrister finished his closing speech to the jury. What was the essence of what he said to them?
Good morning, Anton. Well, on Tuesday, Kieran Vaughan spoke about the allegations made by complainant B, and then he began yesterday by talking about complainant A. He described her as a very unreliable witness, and he invited the jury to consider her words when she said things like she was confused or she wasn't quite sure what had just happened or what she had just seen in relation to certain alleged offences. He said they can't be sure if she's confused, and then asked the jury how they could possibly be sure. And he said that, you know, if she can't be sure if she's confused or not, he asked them how they could possibly be sure. He pointed to things she had said to other people about her memory of an alleged incident being foggy, and said she made changes to her story at one point in her evidence. Now, Anton, this was in relation to an allegation that Jeffrey Donaldson had touched her breasts. Mr. Vaughan said complainant A had originally said Eleanor Donaldson had seen the touching, before he then said that the complainant had changed her story and said something to the effect of, "I wasn't really saying she saw it." Mr. Vaughan described complainant A as someone capable of telling a terrible untruth, and told the jury, this is not a witness they can safely rely on. Now, something from earlier in the trial was a letter in which complainant A said Jeffrey Donaldson had confessed to abusing her. Kieran Vaughan said this would conflict with complainant A telling someone else that there had been no remorse, no apology, no acknowledgement from Mr. Donaldson. And regarding what he called the supposed confession by his client to complainant A and another person, where he allegedly nodded his head when he was asked about abuse, Mr. Vaughan reminded the jury that Jeffrey Donaldson said it did not happen.
And he then ended his speech to the jury talking about noise and asking them to ignore the noise.
Yes, Anton, precisely. And like he started his speech on Tuesday, he finished with an appeal yesterday to the jury to ignore the noise and to focus on the evidence. He said, when you focus on the evidence, the defence say there are fundamental and significant issues with each complainant. He says they are not reliable enough to base a conviction on, and invited them to return not guilty verdicts on all counts. Now, Mr. Vaughan also made a point of addressing the length of answers given by Jeffrey Donaldson during his evidence. He asked them to remember what his client did for a living all his life, i.e. a politician, and then asked them to keep in mind the brevity or lack of it, he said, when Mr. Donaldson was answering the questions put to him.
So then what of the closing speech of Eleanor Donaldson's barrister? Because, of course, she hasn't been in court, and it is an unusual trial in her case, as it is a trial of facts. Did he address why his client wasn't in court?
He did. Ian Turkington told the jury that this was his first opportunity, Anton, to speak to them, and said that Eleanor Donaldson has not been in court at any stage of the trial because she's been determined unfit to stand trial. And then he said that they must not hold that against her. He said it's not the case that she has chosen not to be in court or chosen not to defend herself, and said that, you know, as a result, she's then being denied the opportunity to look the jury in the eye from the witness box and give them her account. Mr. Turkington said this has left the jury really with only one side of the story, and he described that if the prosecution case is a large jigsaw puzzle, that there is a gaping hole in the middle of it. He said that there had been a fundamental delay of nearly 40 years in the reporting to police of some allegations, and asked the jury how reliable their memory is of 30 or 40 years ago. Then he asked them to turn your guard up in relation to that. The jury were told how one of the complainants has described once buried memories coming to the surface. And Mr. Turkington said that this dredging of memories should cause you some concern. And then later talking about the reliability of boxed up memories and whether they're enough to support a conviction, something he says is not possible. And also Ian Turkington spoke about the burden of proof. He described the jury as the gatekeepers and guards against the risk of a miscarriage of justice.
And I believe he said something about falling into traps. What was his point about that?
He did. This is similar to something Kieran Vaughan also touched on in his closing. And it's the idea, Anton, that a juror thinking to themselves, well, why would the complainant be making such a complaint if it wasn't true? Ian Turkington asked this and said there are scores of reasons why courts come to deal with false allegations, which he said are peddled in courts up and down the land day in, day out. He said false allegations can be made by a deliberate and malicious liar, could be told for attention, could be grounded in a flashback, a dream or a false memory. And he said a false allegation could also be for money or compensation or for revenge or to settle a score.
And I believe he also expanded on that theme somewhat, talking about a U-turn in one element of the evidence heard by the jury.
He did. And this is the same alleged incident that Geoffrey Donaldson's barrister Kieran Vaughan spoke about in his closing, the alleged touching of the breasts of complainant A and whether Eleanor Donaldson had seen the alleged incident. Mr. Turkington said that this U-turn casts a very dubious shadow on complainant A's evidence and it unpicks her reliability and credibility. Now turning to her police interviews, which were recorded and the audio was played in court previously, Mr. Turkington said Eleanor Donaldson had immediately spoken to police. He described her as the perfect interviewee and he said, surely a guilty suspect would wait to see what police have up their sleeve before volunteering information. And at the end of his closing, he said that the jury must look at every piece of the jigsaw of the case through the prism of the good character of Eleanor Donaldson. He said, you can't unring a bell, you can't undo this prosecution, but you can bring an end to this nightmare for Eleanor Donaldson. And he said the only true verdicts they can return are that she did not do what the prosecution alleges.
Jamie, thank you very much. Jamie O'Hara from Newry Crown Court.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.